Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh. At 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So, my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, we're going to start with the dad moment. Be careful out there. I know the rain, which, by the way, may not be as bad as we originally thought, may not be the damper that it would be to the weekend, which is kind of good news considering what we've got going on in town this weekend. But the rain is making it dangerous out there. Well, it was slick for us coming in from way out north, so do be careful. We don't want anybody getting in any trouble this morning. How you doing, Hugh? What up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing this morning? Good morning, John Fricke. Good morning, Daryl.
You know, I mean—
Good morning, AT.
We live in this little insulated traffic bubble, you and I, because of the hours that we work.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, my daughter, her car broke down. I don't know what's wrong with it. It's got a transmission issue. It's got something. There's something major wrong with it. I mean, it just stalls out and whatnot. It's at the dealer now. It's at Wade Ford, up at Wade Ford. I got it, but she was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is where she works, and for Atlanta United. And so I go down there. She calls me up in a panic. The car's not working. So my wife and I, the Maven, we jump in the car and we drive down. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We don't get home because, and thankfully, great folks and Gerald and everybody at Wade Ford, thank you very much. For staying there and waiting for us to get there. We finally get the car because I'm going like 35 miles an hour on 285 to get there because this thing's stalling out. But it took me like 3.5 hours, and most of it was just traffic.
Yeah, I was in traffic yesterday. I had to go to court. So when I got out of court, it was the rain. It was a combination of the rain, and it was a couple of traffic lights that were down. But, yeah, it was a little chore getting home. It was a little chore getting home yesterday.
Yeah, so I mean, and again, we get a little insulated with our hours. I guess the trade-off of getting up at O dark is that you know, we usually don't run into traffic.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of for me is really tough because if I don't have to be in traffic, I really don't want to be. And you know, especially on the weekends when you know you want to move around and everything, if it's during peak hours, because I think traffic is even worse on the weekends as opposed to the weekday because you know people are going shopping and everything. If I don't have to move around, man, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, and the out-of-towners come in, right?
Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Right,
I don't want to do it. Can't do it.
I know. This is a problem with this town. It's always been the problem with this town is that, you know, the traffic has gotten to be, you know, L.A. bad. I mean, it, you know, it used to be that it was bad at rush hour, and now it's like bad, bad.
Yeah, you go anywhere.
Anywhere at any time, it's bad, right?
Yeah.
And welcome to Atlanta. I know. It's frustrating, a big part about it. And plus the town, you know, here's another thing. This town is so physically large. It's sort of like Dallas. I mean, it's physically large.
It's spread out. Yeah, I see what you're saying when you're talking about that. Yeah, it's spread out. Yeah.
I mean, Dallas-Fort Worth is ginormous, and Atlanta is really big, too. I mean, Atlanta's far... Now, Chicago has more people than Atlanta, but Chicago, as a city, just its kind of footprint, you know, it's more, you know, dense, right? And Atlanta is spread out. I mean... This is Constant City from Gainesville to Peachtree City. How far is that? 75 miles? I mean, it's a ways.
And it's still building. I was downtown yesterday, and they're putting up – they got streets and stuff blocked off. They're building. Did you see that? Are they putting an apartment complex beside Mercedes-Benz Stadium? Did you see that?
There is.
Yes, it's like a condo or an apartment building.
Really? Yes, right next door.
Right across the bridge.
Right next door.
Well, they have the new restaurant that's right across the place now. And we had, you know, because I had to wait for my daughter, we ate there last night. Food's good. I forgot the name of it. It's something with 10.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's a nice place.
Arthur Blank, I think they renamed it. AM Yeah. I was about to mess it up.
Yeah, but yeah, man, it's like going through there. It's like, wow, they're really there. Like there's some construction. They're changing the streets and everything in that area.
Right.
They have some areas blocked off. Yeah, it's gonna be nice.
Well,
it's gonna be
smooth lot is gotta be worth. I can't even imagine the amount of money the Smooth Lot is worth.
Smooth. I don't think he wants to sell it.
Oh,
I
mean, he'll sell. He gets the right dollar figure.
Yeah, but I think you're talking about like that long paper over the long period of time.
Uh-huh.
But if that I don't know.
Or either that or just leases the property to whoever builds on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Vine City is going to become one of the hot, you know, where do you live? I live in Vine City, you know, I mean, but the problem with that is, it's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing because you're reclaiming the area and it's going to become high end, but the bad thing is, where do the people go?
Yeah.
You know, they got to go somewhere.
They're moving folks out of the neighborhood.
Right.
It's going to be some folks. But then again, over that way, because over there, that's, what's that area called? Something Hills? I can't think of the name of it. Castleberry Hills. Thank you. Thank you, AT.
On the other side.
That's Castleberry's on the other side. But aren't they gonna
Yeah, they're doing work over in Castleberry. But Vine City is what they want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vine City is gonna be the address because Vine City, if that dude ever gets that casino approved, he hasn't, but if the state legislature were to suddenly do that and they put up that 1500 room hotel right there,
yeah.
That's where Smooth is.
Boy, it's gonna tell you what, it's gonna change. That area is going to change in what 5 years' time, 6 years? It's going to be a totally different area. Totally different area.
Yeah, it's going to be something. I mean, this is what Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to mean to that area. That's why I keep going back and I wonder. I think the Braves probably for them made the right move because they—
Getting out of the city?
Yeah, because they have so much land to deal with. I mean, they're going to put the third part of the battery up there.
I don't know about that. I think, like, being here— It kind of sent the message, like, you know, it sent the message. I'm just going to say that it sent the message. But I think being in the city, it would have probably been a lot better because the stadium has been in the city for so long.
Well, to me, the mistake they made here was back in the day. It was back in 96 when they decided to build the Olympic Stadium. They built it right next to Fulton County
because
there was a lot of political pressure at the time. If they had put the Olympic Stadium at the corner of Ivan Allen and Marietta, if you think about, you know, where the viaduct is,
mm-hmm.
if you had put the Olympic Stadium there and kind of, you know, build it over the railroad tracks and whatnot, and they could have reworked the baseball stadium there, you would have had kind of this whole thing that worked from Ivan Allen all the way to Ted Turner,
yeah,
from Marietta to Northside.
You follow me with that, because as much like, I look at it like this, as much prime real estate that's down there, if you'd have had the stadium down there, you got State Farm Arena.
Right,
and Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
And the Gulch when they do that.
Right.
Where do you really have to, like, what do you have to do? That's kind of like a self-contained area.
Right.
You know what I mean? That to me, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
You know, because you have the living space over there and everything where they're talking about doing in the Gulch.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have possibly the casinos and stuff there. That would have been a great area.
Are they still going to do that?
Still a great area.
And Daryl, and AT, you may know this. I know that at one point they talked about there was going to be a mass transit system a la MARTA, okay, that was going to run from, like, Georgia State Stadium and then back through to connect the AU system to Georgia State, to Georgia Tech, and it was going to be a self-contained kind of like MARTA system that contained all of that area, including the stadiums on that side of it. It was going to be its like own trolley system or train system or something.
Yeah, it was supposed to, like, the rails that they have through downtown, right? Like the super train.
Yeah, but does that thing really work? Mm-hmm. I don't think that thing works. My money, they could take that thing out. I mean,
but think about all that money they spent putting that
in. I know. More of a hassle to drive over the tracks.
Yes.
It's for the tourists. See, that thing's for the tourists. You know, it's kind of like that, we've got a cable car like we do in San Francisco kind of thing, you know?
That cable car is kind of nice, though. You're talking about in that area,
yes,
over there, Ivan Allen.
I never rode it one time.
I've never ridden it, but I've seen it. I've definitely seen it. And it's a cool little look over that way. It's a cool little look.
Anyway, we can get into sports, too. Nothing says we can here. We got a lot going on today. The Falcons are going to meet with the media. The three new coordinators, because we have to remind ourselves that Dan Quinn is a new coordinator because he's the new defense coordinator. Dan Quinn, offense coordinator Dirk Cutter, and Ben Kotwicka, who is the new special teams coordinator. Those three coordinators are going to meet with the media at noon today. Now, what we're going to get out of that, I don't know.
Nothing?
I mean, probably not.
Nothing? If you go into this thinking that you're about to get some pearls of wisdom, you might be able to glean some stuff from what they say, but you're going to have to pick through all the other stuff that they say. I think these are just to, you know, give the public a chance to you know, just get to know them once again. For the guys who have been here before, get to know them again. And for the new guys, just to let them talk a little bit. But I don't think they're gonna get too much into philosophy, anything like that. A little bit too early for that.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, they're not going to certainly give you a hint as to. I think the hint comes in who they pick up. You know, in other words, are you going to be focusing on, you know,
well, they picked up Tyson Brillo.
Well, yeah, I did pick up Tyson Brillo. And now, 3-year deal for Tyson Brillo. Now, look, Tyson Brillo. Let's just get this out here. Tyson Brillo can play. I mean, he's a good player. But he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, but they're probably looking at him. They're probably potentially. Ty was the guy. Wait a minute, if I'm not mistaken, he filled in for Ryan Schrader, right? He played tackle. He was the one that stepped in and played tackle.
He's the swing tackle.
Yeah. 3-year deal. I would venture to say he'll probably get an opportunity to start. He'll get the opportunity.
Well, a lot of people seem to think that is a – big old – see, we talk about the stages of what the Falcons have to do in this offseason in this – and look, I'm just going to call it this revamping of this team. You know, you had to do the coaches, then you have to do your own free agents, right? And then you've got to get to free agency itself on March 13th, and you got to get to the draft. Well, the draft isn't the end of it. There's another thing before camp, and then there's camp. But between the draft and camp, there's June 1st. And June 1st is the time that you can cut players and cut players at a lesser hit to your salary cap. Which I, frankly, in all this convoluted world of the NFL salary cap, the Hugh, that you can cut players on June 1st and have it be less of a hit on your salary cap, I've often thought was a little bit unfair because these players, if you're going to cut them, let them know now. Why do you have to wait till June? Now what do I have to do to scramble this summer to find a new team? But this is pointing to that June 1st kind of cap hit thing where mm-hmm. there's going to be another round of cuts on June 1st. And who knows if Ryan Schrader isn't one of them.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe he is. Maybe there's going to be some conversation had. Maybe he takes a pay cut. I think it's still up in the air. I mean, but I knew that going into this whole when the new league year starts and when you start talking about making deals and everything, this has to be an uncomfortable area for a lot of guys, especially on a team that has underachieved last year.
Right.
So this is a very uncomfortable spot. And the Falcons are looking to make moves that are best for them.
And we don't know how much money Sam Brillo got. I mean, again, I think Tyson Brillo is a very good swing tackle. And when I say injury, he's not like Andy Levitre. I mean, Andy Levitre, I don't know what you do with Andy Levitre. Again, Andy Levitre is healthy, but he can never stay healthy. You know, when he's healthy, he's a pretty good player.
Yeah, and that's not a good thing to be as an offensive lineman.
But I'm thinking that they're thinking that Fusco's going to be
unhealthy.
You know, if Fusco's going to be healthy, because I'm beginning to think that that's what's going to be happening here. In other words, you could have Levitre, right?
Sombrello.
Levitre and Fusco. But Fusco is going to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're kind of counting on that at the moment at right guard. See, the mock draft, one of the reasons the mock drafts are all over the place for the Atlanta Falcons at 14 is that we don't really have clear indications yet as to what's going to happen on the offensive line. Now, the first indication we got was Sam Brillo signing the 3-year deal yesterday. All right, we know he's there. We know Mack is there. We know Matthews is there. But what of those other guys? You know, is Fusco healthy? Is Levitre healthy? Are you confident that Schrader can be part of the team? Or will you use that 14th pick to take an offensive player, an offensive lineman? Hey, there's a poll up right now at our Twitter, at 929thegame, asking you, it's a poll I started yesterday, but we've kind of migrated it over. You're an MLB owner. You have the cash to sign one player to a 10-year, $300 million deal. Who do you take? Interested in what you have to say. We'll discuss that on the heels of the big deal for Manny Machado. That's next.
How can you not be a fan?
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rainy Wednesday. I guess the good news is that we're hearing if you're – I'm not – a weather guy, Hugh. I mean,
you play one on TV though. You like the weather. You love.
I mean,
the weather. You love weather.
I'm not a meteorologist. I can't predict. Yeah. I like the weather. I enjoy watching the weather on TV, mostly for the weather girls. But I enjoy watching it. But at the same time, I can't predict it. I don't think even the meteorologists can't predict it. But they're now saying it doesn't seem like it's going to be as bad this weekend. And this is race weekend. I mean, we got a lot going on in town. We have the Legends. We have the race. I mean, so I'm kind of hoping that this, whatever this is, kind of clears up a little bit quicker and isn't as bad as what they were. Because remember, originally they were saying, like, oh, it's going to be a foot of rain, 10 inches. I mean, it's going to be the worst.
Yeah, it was going to be like a monsoon, like it was the other day, like it was yesterday, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. It was pretty rainy yesterday. It was pretty bad yesterday. But hopefully, the good thing about it, I'll take the rain over snow any day. I just don't want to take – I don't want that sleet, you know, when it turns to ice. No, I don't need that in my life. But okay. Hopefully it will clear up. I'll even take the cold, but hopefully it'll clear up so it won't be raining so hard.
And then it'll turn like into baseball weather, and then be here spring right around the corner here. Going to be a busy show. We're going to have Travis Schlenk in the 8 o'clock hour talking about the Hawks and what's ahead for the Hawks in the last stages of this season. NFL legal analyst Michael McCann will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. A lot to chop up with him, including what now for like Colin Kaepernick and what the league is going to have to do on a couple other fronts. Plus, Mike Conley going to be here at 9:20 this morning. I heard the story maybe about Darlington Nagbe and what is going on when Tanitra was talking about it with Atlanta United ahead of their opener is tomorrow night.
Yeah. He's talking about down in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm. They leave
Costa
today.
Rica. Yeah. Quick trip. Sounds like a lot of the players feel like it's probably going to be an uphill battle, tough sledding as far as the conditions are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, you got to take care of business. It's a business trip. Man, take care of business.
Everybody is playing this weekend. I mean, we're talking about everybody. The Legends are playing their first home game against Birmingham. We have race week at Atlanta Motor Speedway for the Folds of Honor 500. The Braves open spring training on Saturday. There's college basketball going on in town. We have, of course, Atlanta United playing tomorrow night. And that game, by the way, will be live on Sports Radio 92.9. The game beginning at 9:30. The game kicks off at 10. And then, of course, we have, you know, everything else that is going on in terms of the Hawks with games Friday and Saturday. Back to baseball for a second. You heard the news. The richest contract in the history of baseball, Hugh. 10 years, $300 million to Manny Machado.
Now, he got paid.
Man, he got paid. And San Diego Padres. Now, I got a couple of questions about this. One is, it's the richest deal ever. The Padres. You know, they're kind of a small market team.
Yeah, but it goes to what I was talking about yesterday. John, I said this yesterday. I said most time players going to go where the money is. And he went where the money is. And you're talking about they had some stats last year. I think the Padres as a club hit like, what, 39 home runs as a club. He hit 37. He went to a place where they haven't been in the playoffs in a long time. He took the money. That's the only way you can look at that and think that. He took the money. And you can't be mad at him for taking the money. He has security for him and his family. He has security with $300 million. It's probably going to go into baseball purgatory as far as being a competitor. But he got paid.
Well, you know, the thing is that I'm trying to figure this deal out. You know, from the Padres' standpoint, is this a good investment? Because this could cripple your franchise, couldn't
it? Well, they're probably looking at it like – you're putting butts in the seats. For all those reasons that you mentioned yesterday, down there being in San Diego, you know, the Latina community
right. Will
probably get behind him and watch some of the games. They're banking on all of that. I think that probably has something to do with it. And, you know, hopefully they're hoping that at some point this translates into wins. That's what I think they're hoping for. But how good are they going to be? I think that remains to be seen.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, if you're Manny Machado, you obviously are taking the money because Petco Park, for anybody that hadn't been there, it's a beautiful park. It's right, you know, near the water in San Diego. It's in an area called the Gas Lamp District. It's a gorgeous facility. It's a neat ballpark. But home runs go there to die, okay? It used to be that San Diego's old stadium, Jack Murphy, Qualcomm Stadium, where the Chargers played and the Padres played, had a nickname, you know, for being known for being a kind of a hitter's ballpark at one point. This thing, though, no, man, this thing is just death for fly balls. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Padres and Machado, and I don't think the Padres are quite done yet, actually. They picked up Ian Kinsler in this offseason, so their new ownership is going to try and make a run in the NL West. But so Machado's done. Now what of Bryce Harper, okay? Bryce Harper's out here. Hugh, we finally have the marker. And the marker isn't so much the $300 million. The marker is he got a 10-year deal.
You know what? I also look at it like this too, John, because we had heard from a bunch of people that baseball was trying to do things the right way. they were trying to reset the market, if you will. That was the word that was being used. They were trying to reset the market. And we heard about these three-year deals, $150 million, half of what he got. We heard about eight-year deal. I think the Padres blinked. I think they blinked. And for everything that the owners were trying to do and baseball was trying to do as far as reset the market, the Padres kind of screwed them on that. I think a little bit of that was going on too. So now, like you said, everybody's going to fall into lockstep. Now Bryce Harper's about to get paid. How much more he gets, that remains to be seen. Because when you look at Bryce Harper towards the middle of last season, he had a little bit of a down spiral towards the middle of last season. So, you know, he's still going to get paid, though. And I think the length of the contract should not be an issue anymore, especially since Manny Machado got a 10-year deal.
Well, on our website, on our Twitter this morning, we're asking the question, you're an MLB owner, you have the cash to sign one player to a 10-year, $300 million guaranteed deal. The Padres. The Friars chose Manny Machado, and you would choose, and we gave you four options here. Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and because it was originally my poll, Ronald Acuna Jr. Now, I understand two things. One, when you're voting in the poll, and I even wrote into the poll in the comment section, that yes, Mike Trout is under contract, and yes, Ronald Acuna Jr., you have control for the next 5 years. But just presuming that they were all free agents, who would you give a 10-year, $300 million guaranteed deal to? Would you give it to you, Manny Machado? All right, you can only pick one of the four here. Manny, because, I mean...
Only one of the four?
Well, I mean, I guess...
my name up
in yeah, because you could... Okay.
Give me $300 million. Or something. Yeah.
But of these four, I mean, you could throw another name in there, but of these four, if you could, let's just say it was for the sake of the discussion right now, limited to these four, Machado, Harper, Trout, or Acuna, you would give 10 years, $300 million to?
Okay.
Machado.
Machado, Harper, Acuna.
And Mike Trout.
I'd probably say Mike Trout. Because I've seen, like, there were some talks in the news earlier this week talking about restructuring this deal or something, wasn't it? I think I did hear that.
Yeah, well, I would probably say Mike Trout. After yesterday, there are going to be a lot of guys going in, going.
Yeah, I would probably say, and the reason why I say Mike Trout is because he's been the guy that's probably been the most consistent and flying under the radar kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say Mike Trout. Between those, out of the choices that you gave
right.
me, I would say Mike Trout.
And he kind of languishing over there in Anaheim at the moment because, you know, look, the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, off the 57, I could tell, near Disneyland, which is their official name, has spent a lot of money. I mean, they spent a lot of money on Pujols. They spent a lot of money on Trout. And what do they have to show for it?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I remember Pujols left Cardinals. He left the Cardinals. I remember that. That was a big deal.
Right.
It's a huge deal. Did they even make it to the playoffs with him?
Once.
Wow. But that's baseball. You listen, that's free agency. I am not mad at Manny Machado going out and playing for a team that probably will not make the postseason. I don't think they'll make it this year. Not mad at him for doing that. This is what it's all about. And I know a lot of people probably are not going to understand that. But, you know, you go out there and you're catching fly balls, you're playing baseball out there at all times of the night, or football, or whatever your respective sport is, dribbling. You know, like the Drake song you went with me when I was shooting in the gym. This is what you put yourself in position for. And I am not mad at anybody who goes out there and get every dollar that they feel that they are worth.
By the way, as to Harper, there's something you need to hear here, okay? We don't know where he's going to end up, but according to the New York Post, kind of going back to previous reporting that Harper wasn't particularly interested in going to Philadelphia because he wasn't fond of the city of brotherly love. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe that's just a New York thing.
I believe that. He probably didn't want that heat.
Yeah, well, if he doesn't like Philadelphia that much, then he's not going to go to Philadelphia.
Probably not.
Because you know as well as I do that when it comes to Philadelphia, because I've been there enough to know this, that if you're not all in with Philadelphia,
yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
No, it's not just a problem. It's a game ender.
Yeah, and you know he strikes me as a guy who probably claps back on Twitter or claps back in person a lot. And in Philly, it's some donkeys in Philly, like for real. It's some donkeys in Philly that will test your gangster, like for no particular reason. Like, that's just how it is. So, yeah, he probably is probably better not being there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, and by the way, to that poll we were running about, you have 10 years of $300 million, who do you give it to? So far, a whopping 2% of well over 1,000 votes say Manny Machado. 2%. Not 20%. 2%. Yeah, so that's not a good thing. I don't know how well Manny will do down in San Diego. He's got a beautiful city to live in. You know, his life's going to be good. I hope he's comfortable with not seeing the playoffs for a while. Because
obviously he is, John.
Obviously,
but you know what? $300 million will make that not being in the playoffs. That'll salve that wound a little bit.
Extra long vacations.
Yeah, especially down there on your yakata, wherever it is you want to go.
Yeah,
your yakata.
That's true. You can put a yacht right there at Corona and just go over to the island and hop into it, and he's off sailing for Bluefin. We're going to run another poll and tell you about it in a moment. We're going to actually have a second poll this morning. It has to do with tonight's Duke UNC game. How big have you seen how much it costs to go to this game? Oh, you got to hear how much they're getting tickets. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Mentioning to you that Falcons had signed Ty Sambrello, their swing tackle, to a new 3-year deal, and in part of reworking the players. Dear Orlando Ledbetter has just tweeted out that Ben Garland will not be returning to the Falcons next year. So there's another bit of news here. The
utility dude?
Yeah, we're going to certainly miss him.
Wow.
I mean,
it's a cold world. Cold game.
Yeah, it is a cold game. Good dude. Really good dude.
Yeah, I would say so.
Obviously won that medal was pretty cool that we saw at the Super Bowl that he won for his service to this country. And so Ben Garland will not be part of the Atlanta Falcons. And Ben Garland has been a guy which is, I guess this one really kind of surprises me a little bit, Hugh, because Garland, you know, he was able to do a lot of things for you.
Yeah, friends is friends. We trying to win football games, though.
Yeah, I understand that.
No, I'm just saying that's how Coach Quinn is probably looking at it. Friends is friends. We trying to win games.
So, again, this is another clearing of the deck here. So you can add Ben Garland to the list now of Falcons who have been released, according to D. Orlando Ledbetter, this in the last 6 or 7 minutes from, here it is early in the morning. What else we got going on today ahead of this noon news conference? Again, there's a news conference at noon today in Flowery Branch with the three new coordinators, Dan Quinn being one of the new coordinators, Ben Gutwicke, the new special teams coordinator, and, of course, Dirk Cutter, the new offensive coordinator. And, again, the news this morning that Ben Garland is now no longer part of this team. So,
well, the good thing about it, I guess he'll get an opportunity to look around and see if he can get a job somewhere else. You know, I mean, from him knowing this early, his agent's going to get on it and try to find him a soft place to land.
Well, you would think he would because he does have value. I mean, his ability to play both sides and to be a guy that can step in and play guard, he can play center, he can, you know, certainly play defensive tackle if you need to. He is that Swiss Army knife. And when they ask him to be a full-time right guard because of the injury situation, you were asking Ben Garland to do something that he's not really – that's not who he is. You know, he is that – he's the guy that comes off the bench that you have on the 48 that suddenly, you know, you need, we need a defensive tackle, that guy's down, or uh-oh.
Well, he's the guy that comes in and can do everything. He's not really a master at any one thing, but
right.
He can come in and give you a couple of good snaps, quality snaps. I think that has some value.
Yeah, I do too, and apparently the Falcons are thinking that they need to rework a lot of things here. And again, some of that is Dirk Cutter. Let's keep that in mind. I mean, Cutter's going to want to do what he wants to do on offense, and so – what are they planning to do on the offensive line with Sambrello now being part of it and Ben Garland gone? We'll find out. And it's also not just an offensive line move. Let's keep that in mind. It's also a defensive line move, too, in terms of Ben Garland. So.
Yeah, he's not a swing man anymore.
Right.
You know, it's going to be it's the way that this is shaping out, it's going to be pretty interesting when we get to training camp, when we finally get to training camp, how this is going to look or what this offense is going to be. They haven't really made any big moves yet, but all signs to me point to this offense being as explosive as it was when they went to the Super Bowl. I expect nothing less than that. I really don't.
There's other news, of course, going on. Tonight there's a big college basketball game in Chapel Hill where Duke is taking on North Carolina, one of the great rivalries in all of sports. Matter of fact, we are asking you, AT, your question this morning, I don't have it in front of me on Twitter, was about rivalries, correct?
Yes, it is. We asked, tonight is the first of the two annual Tobacco Road rivalry games between Duke and North Carolina. And so understanding that Twitter doesn't have enough categories for you to list every rivalry that you'd like, we chose four particular games as the sport's best rivalry, or for listeners to give us one if there's not one listed there. We asked if it was Duke, North Carolina, Yankees, Red Sox, Alabama, Auburn, and Cowboys, Redskins.
Yeah, I mean it's a really tough question to ask, especially when you're limited to four. I don't know what the best rivalry is. To me, well,
I have an opinion. I'll probably say Cowboys Redskins because I want to stay in the vein of football. They used to get after it. And since that's one of the choices, I'll go Cowboys Redskins.
Yeah, it is one of the great rivalries. I mean, in the NFL, is it Cowboys Redskins? I know that there people are going to say, well, Bears Packers is a better rivalry. Oh, okay. All right.
No, I'm saying you only got four. We're going to add here to the list that we put together. Well, they got four.
Yeah. That's the issue with this. Because to me, he put Alabama Auburn. Not mad at him, but for my money, Alabama Auburn, and I'm going to make a lot of Auburn fans and Alabama fans. Hey, it's a great rivalry. I don't think the Iron Bowl is the best college football rivalry. So it's not. To me, Army Navy is the best college football rivalry, hands down. Period. End of story. And I've said that many times because it's the only game, Army Navy, where you can have both teams be 0-11 and still be on national TV in front of 90,000 fans and not get a ticket to it. And because it's Army Navy.
Yeah, and it's a hard get. I see what you're saying.
Meantime, though, Duke, by the way, that game tonight, I stand corrected, is in Durham. It's at Cameron Indoor in Durham. North Carolina at Duke tonight, 9 o'clock. They're killing us. They are killing us with these 9 o'clock starts.
This is how you get that, John, because this is what I do. Get a nap. Go home, get you a nap. And record it if you have to. And, you know, watch it as much as you possibly can and then get up and watch the rest of it. Just, you know, we get up early enough that you can watch it and not have it spoiled. You know, just don't turn on SportsCenter and watch the game.
Yeah, that's not me. I immediately don't watch. I can't watch tape sports. I have to go to the phone. Who won? I go to my phone.
Well, I guess you'll be up all night watching the game. Because your boy. Hey, if he gets sleepy, he's going to close his eyes, and he's going to pick it up right where he left off while he's on that treadmill in the morning.
Yeah, so anybody want to know why you think that Zion Williamson should be the number one pick in the NBA draft? This is why. The tickets for the game tonight are going for $2,500 a piece.
Yeah, I mean, but not only that, though, John. It's not just him. It's all the alumni that are going to probably be at this game. Michael Jordan probably be there. Who else went to Duke? That's probably going to be there. What's the Carolina Stackhouse? Not Stackhouse.
No, Stackhouse working in the NBA these days, so he won't be.
Won't be there, but he did. He went to Carolina, though. Correct? He went to Carolina. Yeah, but you're going to have some cats that are like known alumni. This is going to be This is a big deal for them. So it's going to be a lot of alumni back there.
You know, I think that a lot of this is, you know, Zion is going to get two cracks at North Carolina. North Carolina fans want two cracks at Zion, right? Because you said this is the first of the two. Well, it could be three. I mean, actually, it could be four.
And you're talking about tournament play, too. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, you could have him in the ACC tournament, and you could have him in the NCAA tournament. You know, we don't know. I mean, we could see Duke and North Carolina play four times this year. But this may be the only time you get – well, this will be the only time you get to see him at Cameron Indoor. And one thing about Cameron Indoor is, even though I don't like Duke, and I don't like Duke, is that Cameron Indoor is a small stadium. I mean, it's only – I love Cameron Indoor. Love it, love it, love, love, love Cameron Indoor Stadium. It is my favorite college basketball stadium in the world. You know,
right under 10,000 seats.
Yeah, 9,300.
Yeah,
it's loud. It's on top of you. It just has that every. It's a magical place for a game. Now, having said that, that's one of the reasons the tickets are so expensive is because you're so few. It's not like the Dean Dome has 23,000. I think 21,000 to 23,000. I mean, it's the Dean Dome is gigantic. You know, I mean, it's huge. But Cameron Indoor is only 9,300. So, but anyway, yeah, $2,500 for tickets tonight. My God.
If you wanted to go, you would pay it. That's if you wanted to go.
No, thanks. I'll pass. No, it's not. I mean, I'll wait till Zion gets into the NBA and I'll go to a Tuesday night Hawks game to see him.
Hey, I'm not mad at you for doing that either. Do what you must in order to get what you want to achieve.
That's what I'll do. You know, I'll see Zion at some point in my life. I ain't going to kick out $2,500 to go see him tonight.
No, that's not my motivation as well. I would not be motivated to do that.
All right, well, what about this Falcons news, and what does it change for today? Here we go with another Falcon that is no longer on the team. Ben Garland is gone. Falcons continue to change, and will that be the only move ahead of the noon news conference today? We'll explore that next with John and you on Sports Radio 92 and The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.